It is our prayer, and it should be our prayer for one another and our prayer for our graduates, prayer for our students as they go off, as God calls them away from us in different ways, that God, that we proclaim the promise that God will hold us fast, that He will hold to His promises, even though we struggle at times with our side of the deal, He will hold us fast. And it really is one of the great joys of the Scripture and the assurance of believers is that God does not fail at His promises to us. I'm probably going to do something a pastor has never done in a sermon series. I'm going to skip a few chapters, and we're going to come back to chapter 6, but I want you to open God's Word, your copy of God's Word, or we have the New Pew Bibles, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36, or 30 through 36. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1063. We're going to fast forward a little bit in light of this special Sunday where we honor our graduates, and I want to encourage them as they enter into a new phase of life, and we celebrate the great accomplishments, and I think it's not only will be a blessing to them, but also a blessing to us as well. Because these truths are not just for graduates, it's for us as well. But since we skipped over two chapters, before I read those verses, what I'd like to do is just kind of give you a little bit of what we skipped. We finished chapter 5, but in chapter 6, that's where we find the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Shortly after that, in chapter 6, He walks on water before His disciples. He proclaims that He's the bread of life. And at that point, people started grumbling and muttering about Jesus because of His hard sayings, the hard things that He is saying. In fact, it says that many that were gathering, the crowd was growing and growing, but after some of His hard sayings, many turned back and no longer walked with Him. Some said He's a good man, and others said He's leading the people astray. They even started, some of the Pharisees and Sadducees started seeking to arrest Him, but they couldn't. They couldn't be successful because John says His time had not come. Jesus is speaking to them, but they're not understanding. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to Me. And there'll be flowing of living water. He refers to the Holy Spirit. Some were saying, this is a prophet. This is the Savior. And others were losing interest. And so that's kind of where we pick up in chapter 8. Gives you a little bit of background. We'll come back to those things, and I'll preach through chapter 6 starting next week. So John chapter 8, verse 30. As He was saying these things, many believed in Him. And so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill Me because My word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with My Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day that You've made. As we said earlier in the call to worship, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We have much to rejoice in, Father, mainly our salvation and the truths of the freedom that comes with Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence with us. And we thank you for loving us and wanting to have this conversation with your people each Sunday, where we interact with you, we dialogue with you, hearing your word and responding. And I pray that's what we will do. That those who truly believe in you, those who truly are your disciples, would hear what you would have to say and abide in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1989, I graduated from Brevard High School. And I thought about when I got my diploma just to scream out, "Freedom!" I didn't think I'd ever make it through. Thought I'd die or something would happen. I wouldn't get passed through the system or whatever. But I was excited about graduating. And I was excited about going off. Not everybody wants to do this, but I was excited about leaving home. I had great parents who loved me very well. But I was like, freedom! I remember when my daughter Macaria was little, she came up to me and I'm looking through the fridge and I don't have to go through any red tape. I can get whatever I want out of the fridge. And in our house, you had to get permission to get a snack. Not me. And Macaria looks at me and she says, "Dad, what's it like to be the boss of your day?" I might have shared this with y'all before. She was like 4 or 5 years old. And I ended up instituting a boss of your day gift on their birthday. They could be the boss for one day, just kind of decide what to do, as long as I could critique it, tell them how they handled it. But I kind of felt that way when I graduated, that I'm the boss of my day now. I'm a man. I'm 18. I can be drafted. I should be able to do whatever I want to do. That was my understanding of freedom. Well, God quickly stepped in to teach me otherwise. The one college that I had applied to, I said, "This is the college I want to go to." I wish I could say it was Harvard or Yale, because it's humbling how this story plays out. It was Appalachian State. I lived in North Carolina. I said, "I want to go to Appalachian State. I've seen the campus. I love it." I sent my stuff in. That's the only school I sent into. And they said, "Hey, send us some more stuff about you." And I sent them more stuff about me. And they said, "No." I wish they'd just said no the first time. "Tell us more about you so we can tell you that's not good enough either." And so here I am, this guy who thinks he's going to be free and is going to leave the house and be the boss of my day. I'm now finding myself going to Brevard College, a 2-year school, because that was my only option, because I only applied to one and it turned me down. And I was not leaving the home. And I remember, I've shared this probably with y'all, I remember saying, "Dad, I don't feel like I'm on my own. I don't feel like I'm free. I've got to call y'all and tell you I'm going to the mall. I don't want to do that anymore. Can y'all not let me do it? All my friends aren't doing it anymore. Why do I have to?" And Dad said, "Well, just call us and let us know, because your mom's cooking a meal for you. And she'd like to know not to cook too much. And then if for any reason we want you to come home and be with us, then we would assume you would allow us to do that, since we're providing a house for you." So nothing changed. Nothing changed for me. I'm not the boss of my day. So I decided to move to Las Vegas. That's where I'll find freedom, is Las Vegas. I'll go live with my sister and my brother-in-law. They'll be less, you know, I don't have to obey them. But I found out that I had to have 3 jobs while I was out there, because I went to go make money and I spent most of my time working and I felt very alone in my freedom. My understanding of freedom was wrong, and I believe my challenge for you graduates to understand that the freedom that we think awaits us is not the freedom we really need. It's not the freedom that God intends for his people to have. I got this degree from Brevard High School. It's even got a picture of my school over here on this side. I got this degree from Western Carolina University. And I even got a degree from RTS Charlotte. And those things say that I passed the test. And here, for the first time, Jesus puts before these people who believe in him that are kind of getting excited about following Jesus for different reasons. It's kind of the cool thing to do. They're jumping on board with it. They're following him. They're seeing some amazing things. They're getting, we skipped over chapter 6, but you'll hear about it next week. They get to see a miracle and eat a feast, and there's food left over from this miracle that Jesus does with the loaves of bread and the little fish. And Jesus, through the writing of moving in John to write this, recording this, says, and they're saying many people believe, Jesus makes another comment, a controversial comment, as his crowd's starting to dwindle for his hard sayings. He said, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. He gives them a test. He said, there's proof of whether you are my disciple. There will be proof if you belong to me. Just like I have proof that I graduated from high school, proof that I graduated from college. He said, there's proof that you're my disciples, and that proof is that you'll abide in my word. Before we get into that, this is a theme also in John's epistle, and we'll talk about that toward the end of the sermon. But we do ask the question, am I one of your disciples? How do I know that I belong to you, Jesus? How do I know that I truly believe in you? We'll get into the freedom that Jesus speaks about, but before we do, he puts a question before them. You want to know how you know that you're a disciple of mine? You will abide in my word. 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize that about yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? He wants us to ask that question. God wants us to ask that question. Am I truly a believer? A lot of times young people will struggle with this. They'll say, how do I know that I'm saved? How do I know that I'm a disciple? Well, let me tell you, graduates, and those who graduated last year, and those that are sitting in the pews, this season of life, you'll find out. You'll find out whether you belong to Christ. You'll either see the fruit or you won't with this, quote, freedom. You'll either grow spiritually because you're one of his disciples, or you'll fall away, as the crowds did. The crowds lost interest. They liked some of the things about Christianity, and it was kind of sweet, and we can kind of be that way in this area. We can like our faith and like our Bible and like how that kind of makes us the Southerners who all stand on these principles and stuff. But the rubber's going to hit the road when you leave the house of your home and you, quote, become the boss of your day, of whether you're a genuine disciple of Christ. We see this all throughout John. Don't you remember it says, and they many believed, but Jesus in chapter 2 did not entrust himself to them? Well, they believed in the miracles. They were, oh, we saw it. We have to believe it. We saw these things. Nicodemus said, hey, we know you're from God. You're doing things that none of us can do. But we're seeing many not abide in Christ. Many lose interest. Many not bear the fruit of knowing Christ. In fact, they start to turn on him. I've seen that happen with singers. I'm not promoting any singers, but this guy has problems. But Justin Bieber, when I was in youth ministry, all the middle school kids loved him. And he was pretty talented. I bought one of his CDs early on. I said, boy, can sing. Everybody loved him. And then all of a sudden, when they got to high school, these same kids who just loved Justin Bieber's songs before he went off his wild streak were now saying, oh, he's for little kids. They turned on him. It was cool to like Justin Bieber in elementary school. It was cool to like Justin Bieber in middle school. But all of a sudden, that's for little kids. And that's kind of how people are treating Jesus. Oh, it's cool to think he's exciting. It's cool to follow him. And you go to certain places and you or certain settings and you feel that, oh, I'm all into this. And then when the rubber hits the road, when we see the difficulties that Jesus spoke and what he calls us to suffer for his name's sake, we say, whoa, I'm out. That's too hard. And so Jesus speaks to this crowd, whatever number it is now, as they're dwindling in size. He says, my true disciples will abide in the Word. How can this be that people who believe in him, whose faith he acknowledges by his own words, could be at the same time not his people? Well, they profess faith. They made a proclamation that they believed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They said they believe in him. Well, Satan believes in him. Satan knows who Jesus is. The demons believe in him. He said, those who are my disciples will abide in my words. See, these people were takers. They weren't being transformed by what they claimed to believe. They were just to get, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to fight for myself. And they lived their life that way. Just as a little spoiled kid their whole life. I'm a taker. And that's what David Sanders was. I was like, I want to go out and take what is mine. I don't want to be a giver. And we come into this world that way. We come in this world being takers. We heard the warning when I spoke on the topic of hell, and it said in the Matthew account, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven will enter it. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. See, it's important that we ask this question. Am I one of his disciples? And again, for you young adults that are going off on your own, you will see the answer. He speaks of this in the parable in Matthew 13 when he talks about throwing seeds, and some of them sprout up quickly and on the rocks with a little dirt. They sprout up quickly and then they die. Or they sprout up quickly and then the roots kind of strangle it. But in Hebrews it says, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith and preserving to the soul. He's talking about that you are going to, the word they use here in abiding in the word is the same word they use, the same Greek word they use when they talk about he is the vine and we are the branches. We abide in the vine and bear the fruit. And when you go off and maybe you don't go off, maybe you stay here, if you find no fruit of being abiding in the vine, let me let you hear me say that's a scary place to be. It's a scary place to be. Well, that's where I found myself. That's where I found myself in 1990, free, when I finally got to Western Carolina University. Easy to get in to, but hard to stay in. A lot of people got kicked out. Good people. I'm like, man, I'm free now. I'm with all my buddies, my peers, and I can be the boss of whatever I want to do. There's a few truths that we'll hit on in our time remaining. This abiding we've already spoken to. This abiding, we talk about the vine, the branches, but also in where is it that you live spiritually? Where in your heart is it that you live? Do you live loving the wickedness, loving the world, loving self-centeredness, pursuing those things? Or do you live according to God's word? Is the Holy Spirit at work in your heart? Is he changing things? See, I found myself thinking I was free at Western Carolina, but in reality, I knew I was in bondage. In bondage to what Jesus speaks of in this passage. when he calls, he said, they're slaves. And they said, we're not slaves. We've never been slaves. They're thinking physically. They're thinking physically. They're thinking physically. Every time Jesus says something, they think about the here and the now and the present. But Jesus is speaking spiritually. You're a slave. And his answer to them when they said, he says, truly, truly, I say, everyone who practices sin is a slave. That was David Hart Sanders. Again, I wasn't as wicked as that person, and I wasn't wicked as that person, and I could compare myself to the people at Western Carolina and feel pretty good about my spiritual state, because sometimes I went to church. Maybe once every 3 Sundays I went to church, and maybe I talked about the Lord occasionally. Very rarely. Very rarely did I speak to people that I cared about the Lord. But I did know of my captivity to my sin. And one of the predominant captivities of my sin was selfish, self-centeredness, self-living. That means I am going to pick whatever I want, and I'm going to do whatever my heart wants to do, and I don't care about the repercussions. I don't care about who it affects. It's all about me. And I knew I was trapped in that. Y'all have heard me share that before. But I was also trapped to saying, God, you can't have every area of my life. You can have my Sundays when I go home to Brevard. You can have occasional Sundays here in Cullowhee, North Carolina. If somebody asks me if I'm a Christian, I'll say yes. You can have that, but you can't have this. You can't have that. You can't have any of these things. And you know what? Not only was I committed to that, I felt trapped and enslaved to it. I didn't think it would ever change for me. I didn't think I would ever have this freedom that Jesus is speaking about. You've heard me say, I thought for the rest of my life I would just wreak havoc on people. That there was no way that my wicked, self-centered heart that did not want to give everything to Jesus would ever do it. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Matthew 4:4 says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from his mouth, from the mouth of God. It's saying that if you abide in Christ, that is who you are. Doesn't mean you're sinless. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you don't have selfish moments. Doesn't mean you don't have areas that you kind of want to snatch back. But ultimately, your residence, you're abiding in the word of God. That's our prayer for our graduates, right? I hope that's the way you pray for them. That was our prayer at the beginning of the year. Lord, please help me to abide in your word. Help me to know it. Help me to understand it. Help me to apply it. And I challenge y'all, pray that as much as you can. Father, please help me to do that today. He says you will abide. If you're his disciples, you'll abide. And look at what it says. It says, if you abide in his word, if the Holy Spirit does this in you, you will know the truth. You will know truth. Now think about it. When I went off to Las Vegas, I wasn't even in college. I said, I got to make sure that when I come back to Brevard in 8 months, that I'm different. That I'm even more of an adult man. That I'm even more an intelligent man. And I thought about buying me an Armani suit. Back then that was big, or an Armani suit. And I'd come in with my Armani suit off the airplane. You think about my self-centered slavery. Those things are expensive. I was going to spend some of my money to come off like, look at me, I've got all this. It sounds like some of our celebrities or sports figures today, how they like to dress with all this bling bling or whatever to show how great they are. And that was my goal. How can I elevate me? How can people know that I've made it? Even though I didn't go to college, I got turned down by App State. I had lived in Las Vegas. It says, those who abide in me will know truth. They won't live foolishly like that, David. All that foolishness didn't just stop there. It followed me to Western Carolina when I made it my goal in my practice. My goal at Western Carolina was not to get a degree and a major that I could provide for my family. My goal at Western Carolina University was to be the person that everybody knew and honked at. That was my goal. Didn't have any truth speaking to that. David, this is not a good goal, to spend all this money to go to college so that you can be honked at. Go stand in the middle of the traffic and they'll honk at you. It's a lot cheaper. See, this abiding in the Word leads to knowing, but it leads to freeing. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, and the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You'll be free indeed if the son sets you free. See, that's what the gospel goal is to set us free. You know, John, who wrote this, gives us one test. Okay, if you abide in the word, then you're one of my disciples. But the Holy Spirit moves in John again in 1 John. Turn to 1 John. I'll be reading out of the New King James because I got a bigger print here. And it's marked for me. In 1 John, the same author of the Gospel of John writes these things. "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now you see that echoing the abiding in the word of God. It matters what God says to me. I'm not going to justify it for whatever reason to do the opposite of it. It says, "He who knows, who keeps his commandments is my disciple." The one who does not keep my commandments, he doesn't belong to me. The Holy Spirit's not in him. The Holy Spirit's not doing a work in him because he doesn't care what God's commandments are. The person, my disciples, is that. That was something I didn't think God would ever change, because there were certain areas of my life I said, "God, you can't have, and I don't care what your word says. I'm not going to abide in it. I'm not going to apply it." And I was in slavery to that. The second one he says, look at verse 9 in chapter 2. "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." Okay, obey his commands. I'm a slave to that. I can. I'm a slave to disobedience. Now it tells me I've got to love my brother. Well, God, I love me. And if me loving me, if loving that person gets in the way of this person, I'm done. I was a slave to that. It says in verse 11, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." See, John is setting forth, if you truly believe in Christ, if you truly abide in his word, then you'll know truth, and the truth will address your heart. The truth of the Holy Spirit will fill you and move you to care what God has to say, will move you to love those, your brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter who they are, no matter what they're like, you don't have cliques. When you know Jesus Christ, you don't. It doesn't mean you don't have close friends. Don't run with that. But you don't just say, "These are the only people I love and I don't care about y'all." That the Holy Spirit will not do that. The Holy Spirit won't do it. I was a slave to just loving selfishly. I didn't really love people. I just loved you because you brought something to me, or you're like me. It was another self-love. Oh, you're like me. You like the things I like. I love me. I love me. Nope, you're not like me. I don't love you. I love people like me. I was a slave to that. It says here in verse 15, "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." John's given us a bunch of tests to say, hey, do you love the world more than you love Jesus? Now you say, boy, it's hard not to. Yeah. And it's hard to love others. And it's hard to care about what God's commandments say and say, you can have every area of my life. Another important one in verse 22 says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" He's an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See, I believed Jesus and did great things. I didn't have a problem with that. I believed that he was a prophet. I believed he was the Son of God. But my life didn't show that. I mocked it. I mocked Christ. I would be one of the ones who left Christ when it didn't do me any good with my decisions. Look at what it says in verse 28. We're almost done. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence." Look at it. "And now, little children, abide in him." Abide in my word. Abide in Christ. You see the connection there? John's already made that in John chapter 1. The word is Christ. "And now, little children, abide in me, that when he appears, we may have confidence." and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. See, it's important for us to ask this question. Now, if you leave here and you say, well, I've got to obey. David just gave me a bunch of to-do lists to get God to love me. You've missed the boat. You're not abiding in the word. You don't know the gospel. You don't understand the implications of the gospel. What I'm telling you that is if you truly have been born again, if you truly have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will bear these fruit. And you'll grow at bearing this fruit. If you're like the many who had departed from Christ, and that's not cool anymore, that's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I didn't think I'd ever be freed from it. Even though I was screaming out freedom, I knew I was captive. And convinced that's the way it was going to be till I died. And then the Lord, but God, interceded. And he changed this guy who cared nothing about himself. And he freed me from self-love and moved me to the love of others that I still struggle with in some form or fashion. But I know that I have been redeemed and I know that I have been loved even though I'm unlovely. See, that's what the gospel does. When you truly understand your sinfulness and you understand what you deserve and you believe that the only hope for you is Christ and the only hope for you is his death, that I would pay the price for all my sins in the hell, which we talked about a few weeks ago, that would be the eternity would be that. That's what it would be. You will automatically be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will bear the fruit of the one who saved you, Jesus, who sets you free. I thought that I would not let God speak into every area of my life, and when I met people who that God did do that with, I envied them. I said, that's what I want, but I'll never have it. But he started doing that in me too. As I was abiding in him and abiding in the truth, and the Holy Spirit was working in my heart, I said, God, you can have every area of my life. I want you to speak into every area of my life. And if there's sin in me, and we're so oblivious to all our sin, but show me my sin and lead me out of it. Commandments, loving others, the world, the things of the world became small to me. I enjoy them. I enjoy the things of the world, but they don't rule me. They don't rule my heart. They don't rule my decisions. I've got to bring this to an end. My prayer for our high school graduates, my prayer for each one of you is that you would abide in Christ and that when you go off and you live in this freedom you think you have, that you would ask the question, am I seeing the fruits of my salvation? Am I seeing the Lord move me to abide in him? Am I finding believers to surround myself with? Am I finding a church to become a part of? Am I finding a group of believers? Am I surrounding me with people so that I can know truth, know his word, hear his word, and have them speak to that? That you'll be able to identify the lies that are being spilt out by the world of what you should do and how you should pursue things. That you would know of the freedom that John speaks of in John chapter 8, that Jesus actually speaks of in John chapter 8, this freedom that only Christ can bring to you. Again, I challenge you to pray that prayer. Oh God, do this in me. And I believe he'll answer that prayer. I believe he'll move you to the tools, the means of grace for your freedom. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for our graduates, and I do pray, Father, that they would be alert, they would not be numbed by the lies of this world, and they would not embrace the things of this world and live as though they are not followers of Christ, but Father, they would know of the Holy Spirit that's indwelled them. They would know of the Holy Spirit arguing with their hearts. They would know of the Holy Spirit moving these fruits in them so that they could be assured that you have done that mighty miracle in them. Not to earn it, but to know it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.